What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Sparks of the Paranormal. I am your host, John Sparks. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that listened to our last episode with Emily Menzhouse from What the Frick Live. The woman has been through a lot, and she is still trucking, and she is using that to fuel her paranormal passion. And it's beautiful to listen to, beautiful to see, watch it happen. But today, ladies and gentlemen, this one is really cool for me. Honestly, like I said, there's never really a bad episode. I've always got really cool guests on. And Tony Cotton Kim from Appalachian Paranormal Team actually put me onto this guy's YouTube. And literally in like the first two or three days, I ended up watching like 15, 20 videos because I have no life. And just absolutely flabbergasted and fell in love with the content that he is putting out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Exploration Unknown himself, Mr. Jonathan Turner. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I am alive. Thanks. 2020 has been quite the year. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
you say it lightly, yeah. It's been special. So let's dig right into it, man. Your paranormal research, how did you start down this path? Did you have an experience? Was it just an obsession? Were you a skeptic that's like, this isn't happening and I have to prove it's not happening? How did it go?
Well, I think it all stemmed back to when I was a child, and I had a couple experiences, you know, growing up. Mm-hmm. One was seeing my grandfather, you know, years after he had passed. And then another experience where I actually like had a physical encounter with something that I couldn't explain. But as far as the YouTube world goes, I actually started out doing just kind of urban exploring, mm-hmm. historical places. I got with a good friend of mine who has a YouTube channel called Ray Ray, or East Tennessee Explorer now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we went to a couple haunted spots.
Mm. And
was the Sensabaugh Tunnel in Kingsport, Tennessee, which if you Google most haunted tunnel in the world, it usually pops up in the top two or three.
Yeah.
And so that was my first, when I first had like a experience while investigating, if you say.
Mm-hmm.
When I had like a female voice speaking in my ear while I was in this tunnel.
Ooh.
And after that, we just started going to more spots, and it just kind of ballooned from there on the YouTube side.
Wow. That's... So, obviously, seeing your grandfather had to be quite the experience.
Yeah.
so take me back to that, man. Like, so where like, how old were you? Where was your in the moment? Like, how did that go down?
Well, I was probably around between 10, 11 and 12, somewhere between 10 mm-hmm. and 12. I was mm-hmm. staying with my grandmother's house, and there was a lot of things going on in the family. You know, families go through trials and tribulations. So our family was going through some stuff, and I was kind of too young to really understand it, but it was troublesome, you know, mm-hmm. even. And my grandfather used to, when things were bothering him, he would pace back and forth on the front porch of my grandmother and grandfather's house with both hands behind his back. And he'd just kind of pace mm-hmm. around. And one night I was laying there and I just looked, you know, my mind was upset. I was bothered by the things going on. And I saw him pacing, like it was his shadow. I didn't see him.
Mm. But
there was a light on the porch, and it just left this glow. If anything walked on the porch, you'd see the shadow cast curtains. And so I just see his shadow cast walk by, and he goes by again. And I remember getting out of the couch and looking on the porch and no one was there. And then I knew it was him. You know, I mean, still to this day, I have no doubt in my mind it wasn't him. But yeah, that was, but it was calming though, in a way. Because like I knew he was watching over. So that it kind of calmed me down more than anything.
Mm-hmm. So it was almost like his spirit was still a little upset with the family being upset.
Yeah, it's like it was still concerning him, even though he's not there anymore.
Mm.
It was definitely interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that had to be a heck of a moment. So you said you had a physical encounter. What happened there?
This was a weird one.
I'm down for weird.
So I'm at home, and we lived on a lake growing up here in East Tennessee. And I remember everyone was at the lake, and we lived, and the first 4 or 5 years we lived there, we lived in a single wide trailer, you know, before my parents had to slowly upgrade homes and stuff. So we lived in this mobile home, and everybody was down at the lake on this dock, and I was fixing to go down there. But I also was like, I don't remember what it was, but I was doing something wrong. You know, parents, mm-hmm. boys in the house, I'm a kid, I'm like 8 years old. And I start walking through the house and I feel this energy hit me and I stopped in my tracks. Mm-hmm. And I remember I couldn't move. And as I'm looking at my, like down at my hands, I could see like this aura was almost like glowing, transparent aura around my body. And it was gone just like that. And I didn't know what the heck had happened. It scared me so bad. I ran all the way to the lake and told everyone a ghost walked through me. Well, of course, all the adults were laughing, and you know, and at the time I didn't know how to explain it. So I'm just like, there's this green glow around me. and everyone just died laughing, you know, this kid's making up some crazy stuff here. But yeah, the experience, I'll never forget how it felt. And in that house, we had all the time, I'd be in my bedroom, and you know, the sound of like, not denim, but like, I can't think of the fabric, but it makes that swoosh sound.
Corduroy?
Yeah, like something like corduroy, where it makes that little bit of swoosh sound as you're walking and your legs. Mm. You would hear that sound coming down the hallway.
Mm.
And then I would always think my dad or my mom was coming to check on me, and no one would ever around the corner, and I'd get up and look, and you know, everybody's in, you know, parents are in the living room. Of course, my brother, he has autism, so he'd be in his room or in there with them, and mm-hmm. couldn't explain it, but that was the experiences I had growing up.
Wow. So, man, that's crazy. So what so far, what has been your favorite place that you have gone? Like with the channel.
With the channel. Well, that's tough because I've actually, this channel's allowed me to do some really cool stuff. I have to say my favorite, it's going to be a collective of places, but it's 3 years ago, almost, it'll be New Year's Eve 3 years ago, and first of 2018, when me and my friend Tim from Breaking the Shell took our first road trip. It was the first time we ever did anything like that. We'd never been out west. I had never been farther west than Dallas, and we drove from Knoxville. We got the car New Year's Eve night. It was dark. We just started driving, and we wound up in all over California, Arizona, and Nevada. Yeah. That whole trip out west, we got to spend the night on the Queen Mary, essentially by ourselves.
Wow.
That, I got some amazing evidence there. That was when Tim had his first true experience, and it wasn't on camera, but he saw, you know, the little girl.
Yeah.
You know, on the ship, I think Lucy is her name. He saw her, but he was like, it wasn't a little girl, but it was. I'm like, and he darted around the corner. And Tim, we were just walking on the ship to our room, and he sees this little girl standing, and the hallways would kind of go straight, and it would cut to the right for about 5 foot and then turn and go straight again as the ship widens and, you know, all that stuff. So he saw this little girl dart around this corner, and he took off running. And he come back confused. I'm like, dude, what in the world's wrong with you? He goes, I saw this little girl, but she was dark, and I could see through her. And he started explaining it. Come to find out, it was the actual deck of where the old second class pool used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she's seen it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, well, welcome to the club, Tim.
Yeah. He'd been doing ghost stuff, things that, you know, things had happened, but that's the first time, like, he saw something with his eye, you know.
Yeah.
He had felt things, weird things had happened, but that was the first time he actually saw something he couldn't explain.
Yeah. And probably the craziest thing that I've seen with you and Tim was Skinwalker Ranch. And I'm sure that you talk about that quite a bit probably with people, but there was so much happening, and you guys were just outside of Skinwalker. You didn't Skinwalker.
Yeah, we were on the actual, like, the famous ranch. You can't get on there. I mean, it's TV network and owns it. And the thing about it, when you get to that spot, like, I had a point marked on a map that I knew would get us close.
Mm-hmm.
We get there, and, like, none of us have, like, signal enough to pull GPS back up. You know, once you lose GPS phone, you can pull up where you're at. Like, you'll see the dot, but the roads are gone.
Mm-hmm.
That situation. So we're driving around this little dirt road, going in and out of trees and stuff, and it's the only lights we can see anywhere, and that's, I'm assuming, was Skinwalker Ranch. But we're walking around, kind of I wouldn't say it's a hill or a mountain, but it's like sloping downward. You notice if you look on the video, we're sloping downward, and you see, you know, Tim starts feeling weird from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing of that whole video that gets kind of overlooked is, Tim got overcame and he collapsed, which was really scary. But as that was happening, there was this green ball of light that came from nowhere, and it's moving around, and like, Tim's like, I gotta go, and I'm like, but do you not see what we're looking at
here?
And it moves around, and it's like, when I first saw it, it was out where we were just at. Like, you could see it, like, the light of it hitting the ground.
Mm.
And that's the bizarre part. And then it, like, goes into the trees and starts moving through the trees. And you see it disappear behind the trees. But you see the glow through the woods, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just disappears and there's no sign of it.
Mm-hmm.
That part really freaks me out. 'Cause
there was so much in that episode. And I know that people look at you know, like you said, Tim collapsing as like the biggest thing to happen in that video. But there was, if you pay attention, there is something happening in every moment of that video.
Uh-huh.
And yes, Tim, I am so sorry that that happened. That sucks. But dude, there was so much happening. I understand why you passed out.
It was one of them situations, when you're in it, you're like, it's surreal, because there's so many weird, bizarre things going on. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're nervous as heck, because we don't know if we're in a spot we're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We don't know if somebody's going to shoot a gun at us. You know, we don't know what's around us, because we show up after dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times you go to these places, you show up after dark, you're not exactly sure what is around you or who is around you. So,
yeah.
That on top of it, at one point, like, a limb falls out of a tree or something,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's fixated on that limb, because you do see it hit the ground. I think it just fell out of a tree, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that was just a coincidence. But it's, you know, the first lights you see, it's like a flashlight moving around. The whole all dug up. I mean, this is some bizarre stuff going on.
There's a lot of craziness in that episode. And another episode that gets to me, you guys were in a church, and I can't remember who you were with, but you guys were going to walk out, and then there's this loud noise.
Oh,
you turn around, and there are three pews that have been tipped over.
Man, that's another one that I still, in my head, I'm trying to figure out how in the world, you know what I mean? It was Josh from Southern Afterlife Paranormal.
Yeah, yeah.
We were there. The craziest thing that happened, you know, the chairs was crazy.
Yeah.
But the face I saw in the window in that place.
Yes.
what, and then I started, I got sick, man. I guess if you've seen the video, it's kind of graphic towards the end. You don't see nothing. Mm-hmm. Hear me, like, hurling. But man, that place has something dark. And I didn't know this about the church, but a guy had been murdered in that church not that long ago. It was just a
wow.
Huge. That's close to Cherokee Casino in Harris. That yeah. church, like, in the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the side of Cherokee. So apparently these dudes left the casino and they went there for some reason at like 1 a.m. And one dude stabbed the other one to death. And you know, when you first walk in the little foyer, it's in
yeah.
it right there. And I didn't know that. I didn't see that story. I read it afterwards. But yeah, that's some dark stuff going on in that place. You see there's been like ritualistic things done, a Bible burnt in there, so
mildly unsettling. To say the least. But dude, you've got so many great episodes of stuff that what was the name of the artist? You went to her cabin.
Man.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That episode, man, like it and it's crazy because it's the definition of me to a perfect haunt. Because, you know, a lot of people, when they think about paranormal activity and they think about haunts, they automatically go to the negative. Meanwhile, you're in this beautiful cabin in the mm-hmm. beautiful mountains, having a delightful conversation
yeah.
with someone.
That's
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite places. Because the thing about that cabin is, it's not on the hiking maps.
Mm-hmm.
So very few people actually visit that cabin. Unless you notice this little path by a tree on the main trail, you'd never know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so a person I knew had given me the lead on it and told me about it. And they were not a paranormal person, but they said, you know, we went in there, our batteries drained, we heard stuff, it was weird. So I went and I packed a lunch, and it's a pretty good hike. I mean, it's
yeah.
miles up a mountain to get to it. And I'm not a small guy, so you know I have to huff and puff, but I get there and the first thing I do, I notice no one's there. No one had been there in a few days. Like there's mm-hmm. a. So I go and sign in, and I sit down on the front porch. I'm listening to the river, and I'm eating lunch. I'm just like, I pulled my sandwich out. I'm just sitting there chilling. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I know, I hear the door open and somebody walk in. I go, oh crap, somebody else is here. So I stand up and I look in, and nothing. You know, no one's there.
Wow.
No sign of anyone. And I hadn't finished my sandwich, and I put it back in this little bag, and I said, it's time for me to get to work. Good. And the K2 meter, which it's the Smoky Mountains. It's 2 miles from anything. There's never been electricity in that cabin.
Yeah, nothing up there.
So there's nothing electrical to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just literally me and a few pieces of equipment in the middle of the mountains, and this meter is responding. And I'm having, like you said, a conversation. Yeah. And it was so... I tell you, in those moments, for me, you know, I know it doesn't everybody, but sometimes I get taken back, and I'm just like in awe for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I have to edit some of it out because I'm just standing there like, this is really happening. And it's just mind-blowing sometimes.
Wow. That's just... It was literally just... Like, it was a heartwarming conversation. And I can... Let's just put it this way. I can understand when you look at the surroundings and you look at the cabin itself, why she is still there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean... If you go somewhere and hang out in afterlife, that would definitely be a place.
Oh yeah, especially if you're like me, you don't like people.
Yeah. I mean, I love people, but being around people, especially now.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got people. I'm seeing even other YouTube influencers out like doing meetups, and you see all these pictures where they get face to face and pull their mask down for a picture. It's like, what are you doing? You know. Come on.
I when I was on the ship, at the USS North Carolina with the ghost hunters and stuff like that, everybody's taking their masks off. I'm like, I mean, you do need to see my smile, but y'all, we are really close. Yeah. I don't know, man. So, okay. Where do you want to go that you have not gone yet?
I would love to go to Romania and go to Vlad's castle.
Ooh, yes.
I'd love to go there. That's like one of the bucket list. I don't know if I ever get to do it type of things, but that's like my ultimate place. And, you know, of course, I want to say like Paris catacombs and stuff, but it is so like physically dangerous there. It's just not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you watch my videos and you watch my channel, I'm always cautious of two things. That's, is anyone else there, or is, and how weak the floors are.
Yeah. That's as the big dude, I completely understand.
I've fallen through a floor and I fell into a grave and fell. I've fallen. Sorry. My grammar got me.
You good. So speaking of falling into a grave, I want to talk about that live stream. Yeah. Was it Gallagher Cemetery?
Yeah.
Dude, yep. Like 30 minutes. You guys didn't even make it 30 minutes. Hell, Tim's phone didn't even make it 15.
Yeah, so we go up there, and I'm like, you know, we filmed there a while back. I have a video there, and the video, it's a bizarre place because we were getting these loud EVPs. They're not even EVPs, just these phantom voices in this one spot. And we were hearing them with our ears. Like, it was that loud. And it was like, this person, a person here talking, a person over here is talking. And, like, you just see the video we did. Like, I'm, for a long time, I'm standing there looking at Tim like, hear that? I hear. And I'm pointing forth like, I'm blown away. And some of it come through a little bit. Some of it didn't on the audio. But we had a lot of experiences. So I'm like, let's go back and live stream there and maybe film a follow-up video. So we drive up. It's remote, so you don't have to worry about noise. I'm like, oh, this is great. Good signal. I'm walking around. And then Tim is convinced I shoved him into a wall. And when he fell, like he fell onto his phone and just destroyed his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Then we proceeded.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it felt like someone reached out of the ground and just started pulling me down. Like, that's honestly how it felt. Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Because the ground gave way under me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you normally can trust the ground. Yeah, sadly, this was not that occasion.
Then I crawl out and I'm like, oh my God, where do I walk now? I realize it's a grave. You can see the coffin.
Yeah. Yep.
And the worst part was having to reach back in the hole and get my shoe.
and the gimbal was murdered.
Yeah, I tried to fix it and it's not usable. So, oh well.
The craziest part of it, though, is the fact that when Tim trips or gets pushed into the wall by a phantom force,
mm-hmm.
and breaks his phone, a kid laughs.
Oh yeah, the kid laughs.
And then when you got, for lack of a better term, drug into a grave, mm-hmm. Another kid laughs.
Yeah, and see,
it's disturbing.
It is. When I played that back later on, because everybody, like, I remember where we were standing. We were in the area where all the phantom voices was happening the previous time. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading all these, the children's names on here.
Yep.
And it's right around there. You hear like this, like a little kid laugh.
Yep.
We didn't hear that when we were there. I thought people were messing with me. You know, I'm like, no. Come on. No. Okay. Because, you know, people watching the videos, they comment, and I love them, and I love their comments, but some people come up with some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it's something, me chuckling or whatever, but no, it's a kid.
It's a kid. It's a small child.
Yeah.
And it's not the fact that you know, oh, it's a kid laughing. The laugh was almost creepy. Like, it wasn't even like a little kid, like, ah, ha, 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 ha. It was like, it was almost like a, I'm glad you're hurt, ha, 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 ha. Which is even creepier. Like, yeah. let's add some layers of creepy on top of a child's laughter and see if you can sleep tonight. I didn't. I was in that live stream. I was like, no, that's not what I just heard. I know that's not what I heard. And then I put it in the chat and everybody's like, did you just hear? And I'm like, y'all, I got this. Yes, it happened.
It did. It did, and it is really creepy to listen back to. So yeah, of course, I'll let for sure. People want to see that. I thought about making a video about that just because so much happened.
Yeah. And then I can't remember the cemetery that you were at, but you said in one video that there was a large winged creature around.
The Lost Creek Cemetery.
Yes.
Yeah.
The place itself is just unsettling.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that only part of it is cleared so you could see, you know, the graves, but they're going back through the trees on both sides of this road. When I saw the area just through the screen, I had chills go up my spine. And you guys were in broad daylight when you first pulled up.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, normally if I like, I'm the kind of person that I get scared looking at something. I'm like, okay, all right, take a breath. You got this. Just go. I was like, I would not get out of the car. So tell me about the experiences surrounding there being at night. A, the first time that you're there hearing what would be a large winged creature, and then knowing that, hey, I'm going to go back.
See, now faced with this decision a lot of times, like something crazy will happen, and then it's like, is it worth going back? You know, example, the witch's circle, which we'll get to, but yeah, so going there for the first time, I almost went alone. Believe it or not. Because, you know, Tim had stopped filming for a while, and Josh hadn't come up here to start filming with me yet. So I was going to go by myself, and I just, on the last second, I text Tim, said, hey, do you want to go with me up here? Because I knew he didn't work next day, and he said, yeah. And normally he'd say no. So I was like, cool, because it was remote, like very remote.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have signal or anything. So I talked him into going. He went. And, you know, it's spooky. It was terrifying just to stand in there. But, of course, you know, the history side of me was excited because I'm seeing these old graves. There's a soldier, you know, Civil War graves. There's an unknown Revolutionary War soldier, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we're standing there. And then things got eerily silent and just felt wrong. And Tim hears, I didn't actually hear the wings flapping because I was talking kind of over it. Now my audio caught it and I was able to isolate it and enhance it so you could hear it. Yeah. But that growl, oh my God, that just instantly we ran. Like we both just said, this is it. We're getting the heck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the car and I realize my keys are in the back.
Oh.
I'm like, I have to get out of the car. Pitch black. I run around the car. Open. It's comical. Like, you can't run. Get them and, like, I swear I could have competed with anybody on a marathon of getting out of that car and getting those keys and get back in. I was that terrified. And we got the heck out of there, man. But then going back, it was extra nervous. So any little sound, any little thing, I'm on edge the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I do actually want to go back again. I want to actually go back when I have some good thermal.
Yeah.
Some good thermal imaging cameras so I can actually see through the trees and what maybe what it is that's out there.
The craziest part of that second trip, though, is the fact that using the ghost box, you guys were getting responses of the spirit saying, you guys don't need to be here. There's something here.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, if you've got dead people telling you that, you know, there's a large creature that's not a demon, you should go. And then you guys hung around for like another 45 minutes. And I was like, I mean, I get it. But also, I don't get it.
Man, it's a rut. There's a threshold of like, what can you handle, you know? Yeah. Sometimes, like, I've been to some scary places by myself. Well, that's the hard thing, is getting over that I'm alone factor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as much danger if someone's with you. But for some reason, when someone's with you, you are way braver than you would be. You know, by myself, I probably wouldn't last it so long.
Yeah, no, there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. There's strength in numbers, and it's not just, you know, the fact that you're more formidable. It's the fact that there's somebody there to literally hold you in place so you can't run.
Yeah.
So what is the one place that has scared you more than anything?
That's a good one. I'd say the one we just talked about, or the witch's circle, is probably the scaredest I've been. Apologize. Okay.
You don't have to be sorry. Dogs are amazing. If it was a cat, that'd be one thing, but it's a dog, you're fine. So talk to me about the witch's circle.
So the witch's circle was our first video to make it on Travel Channel. Tim actually got scratched pretty bad there.
Mm.
The legend behind it, now this is, you know, I'm not going to go into details, but it is graphic. It's there was an occult group that was there. It really has nothing to do with witches. The only thing it has to do with witches is there was sisters that they thought were witches that lived there a long, long time ago.
Mm.
But there's these cultists that supposedly sacrifice a woman's unborn child onto a tree. Yeah, that's the legend. You can't find proof because obviously people say it happened in the 60s. Everyone that lives in the area says it happened, but there's no documentation. Of course, they probably wouldn't. Towns didn't want that to be known back then, I guess.
Yeah.
If it did. So it is a legend, but there is this messed up looking tree there.
Mm.
And it has this awful knot in it, and they say that's the tree that the child was sacrificed onto. Like, it was hung from the tree, yeah, nailed to it. So the first time we're there, we're around this tree, weird things are happening. We actually hear wood knocking. Yeah.
Mm.
So, and then Tim is just like, he starts complaining. He's like, dude, it just feels like something's hot on my back. And we lift it up, and he's got four of these scratch marks down his back. Like, yeah. And so, can't remember much more that night, but we got out there. We went back, and that's when that's when we actually heard the wood knocking, was the second time. And we get to the water, because this is a peninsula on a lake. And we get to the water, and we hear this eerily similar to Lost Creek growl, scream.
Yeah.
Something starts running through the water. Yeah.
What?
Michael says he saw something about 10 foot tall stand up from the bushes and start running. Mm. I didn't see it. My camera couldn't see it. Someone went on his camera, like, outline like this kind of shadowy looking thing that looks terrifying, but it's hard to tell because it could just be shadowing too, you know.
Yeah,
you can't prove that's what it was, but it that was another time we took off, same situation.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we're getting the heck out of here. Yeah. So,
I mean, like, I can handle spirits, but a cryptid, that thing is physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to square off with, you know, 8-9, but 500-pound ape man.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. or something that can fly, literally pick me up in its talons and carry me off.
Yeah.
I know that I'm quite the meal, but I'll hard pass on that.
Yeah.
Oh wow, man. So you've also done some Bigfoot hunting as well.
Yeah, I've dabbled in that field a little bit. I'm not an expert or anything on it, but I have went to a couple spots.
And I got to start one video of you. Sadly, because I had to go to work, I was not able to finish it. But what have you learned from your dabbling in squatching?
Well, the biggest thing I've learned is there's a lot of people who claim to be experts about Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of them have a different opinion.
Exactly.
That's the thing with Bigfoot, man. I'm going to shoot straight with you. Do I believe it is possible? Absolutely. I still can't get past the fact of, why haven't we found the remains of one? Why hasn't a skeleton been found? Why haven't any remains been found? That's my only issue with Bigfoot. Now, do I think it's possible? Yeah. Me and my wife one night saw a set of glowing eyes about 9 foot off the road.
Mm-hmm.
Shadowy figure take off running through the field. And that happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looked like a Bigfoot. But,
yeah,
like I said, my only rebuttal to the existence of Bigfoot is, why haven't we found a body? But I definitely think it's possible.
That is a great point. And I could dig into some cryptid stuff right now, but I want to know, what have you learned? What is your most valuable takeaway from these years in the unexplainable world of ghost hunting?
Most valuable thing I've taken away from it? Well, that's a tough question, man.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It's a big question.
It is. Because, I mean, there's definitely things we can't explain, but it's one of the biggest things is knowing you got to be grounded in the spiritual world, or things can attach to you. I know people that it's happened to. It's kind of happened to me before. But I think the biggest lesson I've learned and the biggest thing I take away is you better be grounded. You better know where you stand spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Going into, I'm not going to get into, spiritual beliefs and religions and all that, but whatever you believe, you better be well grounded with it before you start approaching it, or it can physically harm you. And that's the biggest, thing I've had to learn.
Yeah. And there's another episode that I do want to talk about. It was you and a couple of guys that were in this house that had a lake out front of it, and it's kind of set back, and there was this long loop that you guys ended up walking down. And then when you got back to the house, all of your stuff was knocked on the ground. And that's when the teddy bear gets knocked off of the chair. That's when the drapes start moving and everything.
Okay, so are you saying that's the same video, or are you talking?
It's
about
the same one. It's the same one. It's you and I believe it's Tim and it might be Josh, but it was. I was watching it, and it was disturbing to me, because you guys are like, we're not experiencing anything. There's nothing really happening here. And then Tim's like, oh wait, the drapes are moving. And then all of a sudden the bear gets like ripped off the back of the couch.
Okay. So that is an older video, and that's one with Michael where the bear, that's another Travel Channel. So that house, man. Okay. And again, this is graphic, but in this world, you do deal with a lot of graphic tragedy,
Yeah, yeah.
In that house, that is where a guy had been murdered about a week before we were there.
Yes.
Been stabbed to death in the house. Now, the one where you're talking about we leave and we come back, all our stuff's knocked over, that happened to me, Tim, and Josh on our last road trip to Colorado. That was when we found the barn full of marijuana.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
devil's lettuce.
The house of the bear. We never left that house because it's actually in a really bad area of town.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I'm thinking of I don't know how I got that.
You had to pick those merged. It's easy to I merge my people all the time. It's okay. But that one, the murder house, there was this weird energy, obviously, because all the dude's stuff was still there. Like, there was still eating food in the kitchen table, you know?
Bag of Fritos on the table, like on the coffee table.
Yeah, and it's like he was murdered right there in the floor by this other guy over $500, you know?
Crazy. And
I remember the moment you're talking about when the bear falls, my K2 meter starts going off, and it's one of those cheapo K2 meters, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just moving it around, and honestly, looking back at it, I hadn't been doing paranormal long at all. I was still really new into it. I honestly, now I look at it, I'm following like an electrical line through the wall. But regardless of that, it stops and immediately that bear topples over. You see the curtain move. Now, at first thought the bear fell and maybe the wind blew the curtain and whatnot. But this lady from the Travel Channel made a real good point about it, is like later on, I think two more times the curtain actually moves.
Yeah.
And at one point it does it on a command. Like we ask it to do it and then it does. Mm-hmm. One time Tim sees it, I didn't, you know, that place, man.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. And the man that was with us, Michael, it was someone in his family actually was a roommate in that house. That's why we were asked to come.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Crazy stuff.
The
man.
definition of close to home for sure.
Yeah.
Man, to get murdered over $500.
Yeah, it's crazy what people.
It's just crazy. Yeah. It's just crazy. And you know, were you guys, because obviously I merged the videos together somehow. Were you guys ever able to corroborate the fact that that was him that was in the house communicating with you guys?
We never did get anything solid saying, oh, that was him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you gotta keep in mind too, we were still very new at doing, you know, paranormal investigations, so
yeah,
like there is, like, I didn't have a digital recorder out recording like I should have, you know, things like. And but yeah, I feel that it was him, but like we didn't get like his audio recording saying it's him, anything like that. We just got what basically the evidence you see.
Yeah,
you hear voices speaking, but none of it you can make it out. You hear like a girl talking. Now at one point, I think someone may have walked by the front of the house, and I think you can hear them in stuff like that. But yeah, I believe it was him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a tragic ending to his life, you know.
Yeah, and I'm a firm believer of the stone tape theory that, you know, when something as energy charged as, say, murder happens, there's a piece of that energy that is left behind.
Yeah,
and that spirit is going to be permanently attached somewhere, and you know, it may not necessarily be murder. It may be, you know, I've mentioned this before, and it's just one of my favorite examples. You know, Aunt Ethel uses a crock pot for 80 years. Aunt Ethel passes away. Well, somebody ends up buying Aunt Ethel's crock pot. Now Aunt Ethel is using that crock pot in somebody else's kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. You know, when there's time and energy spent somewhere, that's going to happen. And I think, you know, that's as sad as it is, that's what happened to this guy. And it's heartbreaking.
It is.
I don't know if that family is ever going to, you know, discover this episode of the podcast or this podcast at all. But if you guys do, please understand that my prayers and my love and my support are going out to you.
Yeah.
it's horrifying when something like that would happen. But to move on to something a little bit different and not so down in the dumps, that the Mary Jane house, the Devil's Lettuce house, as I'm now going to refer to it. that was crazy because you guys kept hearing stuff in the house, and then you kept hearing stuff outside of the house, and then you went for a walk, and then you come back, and all of your stuff is all over the floor.
Yeah, that. Man, and busted the echo box. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
So we booked it. This is a, you know, I don't want to say too much, but you can rent this place and stay. Mm-hmm. And the story goes, there is these people found dead there and stuff. The various, I can't even remember the scenarios, but there used to be an old farmhouse that stood where we were staying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that house was not the original house, you know, it was kind of built in its place. And so, like, we're hearing stuff outside, things happening inside. Crazy stuff, man, happened there. Like, there was, we hear sounds, we're trying to just eat dinner, and we're hearing, like, cabinet doors shut.
Yeah.
If you watch one of the other, I think Josh's video from there, I get woke up in the middle of the night because I hear him and Tim talking. I walk out like, what in the world y'all doing? I'm trying to sleep here. And, oh, I remember now. I thought one of them was in the room talking to me.
Yeah.
Or somebody standing at my bed saying something, and I kept trying to ignore them because I'm trying to sleep. And finally, I get up and walk out there, and they swear none of them was, but all the kitchen cabinets were open.
Oh, whoa.
I thought one of them was pranking me, but they swear they'd never done it, so... I just finally, it's just, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that place was crazy. And then we find this barn. Like, we get turned around. We're walking around this big field that's got like a path through it. And we see we just like kind of stand there talking, and we start, which way we go? And we see this light, and we're like, oh, that's where the house is. And it winds up being a street light at this old barn. And yeah, there's probably about $1 million worth of devil's lettuce in that thing.
There was a lot.
It was, I mean, to the rafters, just packed full.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting like, we better go.
This
is not where you need to be, guys.
Because that's how y'all get shot.
Yeah, that's the moment when bullets start flying, man. Shooting your hunt in, but we got lucky, and I debated whether or not to post it, but I'm like, you know what,
it's gonna happen,
man.
That was crazy, because even when you guys were walking around that field, there was stuff happening in the field, like as you guys were walking, like there was somebody trying to cut through the field,
and I'm not sure that somebody was there, you know. Like somebody was like seeing what we're up to, probably realized, you know, these dudes ain't, I don't know how we didn't get shot with a long MR, honestly.
Yeah.
I really don't know how, so we didn't get approached by somebody or whatever.
I don't know. You know, there's so much that you have done on this channel and so many places that you've been.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you headed next?
Well, we got a lot of things we're planning on this coming year. I guess I'm planning kind of a bigger trip out west, but I think the next place I'm going to go that I'm going to be excited about will be Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
I've been sitting there for a while. I was going to go earlier in 2020. Of course, you know, the plague hits and...
Yeah.
Everything locks down, so things get moved back, and I just kind of kept putting it off. But I think January, I'm really gonna. That's when I'm gonna head up that way. And there's talks between me and Tim of doing a little Florida trip this winter, so we can, you know, I've never actually filmed in Florida, so I know there's some really awesome places down there, and I got some friends, you know, some spots. So.
And I will tell you this as somebody who spent 6 months in St. Augustine. There's a lot in St. Augustine, my friend. A lot. in St. Augustine. It is the oldest city in America. There's a lot. That's all I can say. There's a lot.
The biggest spots I'm going to, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the lighthouse, but there's so much more that that even the ghost tours down there are not going to tell you. Yeah. So if you could, as we're wrapping this up, man, first give us one note to live by as somebody who would want to go out and start investigating. One major thing that they need to know.
I said this earlier, be grounded spiritually. Really do. Know what you're getting into and actually talk to someone that is experienced in this field that can kind of guide you, because you don't want to get into something that, you know, we're dealing with a situation now with Tim where you've got something attached that you can't get rid of and it's making your life a living, you know, a wreck.
Yeah.
You really, really be grounded and, you know, find some friends, you know, people that go with you, stay safe, you know.
That's good. With that being said, go ahead and throw out your social medias and things so that people can find you and see what you're up to.
Well, of course, Exploration Unknown, YouTube, same thing in Twitter, Instagram. There is a TikTok out there, but I probably wouldn't fool with it. You know, if you like paranormal and you like things non-paranormal, I have another channel called Southern Twang, so it's a fun little place to be. But that's it. Just Exploration Unknown and about any social media other than Facebook. I don't do Facebook. I'll be
there. Yeah. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on here. This has been so much fun.
Thanks for having me, man. I've enjoyed it.
Heck yeah. And I hope to run into you in the field. I really do. Yeah, no, we're going to have to go somewhere. We're going to have to do something crazy. It's going to have to happen. But guys, thank you for joining us. And when you're out there, I say this every week, and I mean it every week from the bottom of my heart. When you're out there and you're following Jonathan and Exploration Unknown, guys, whenever you find somebody in the paranormal community, no matter how big, no matter how small, show that love and support. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, all of it. Because we're all out here to find answers, and that's nobody has the same way of doing it, but we're all out here for the same reason. So show that love and support, guys, and we will talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.